It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world.
Today on Trouble with the Script, we're doing what I think is as close to a perfect sports movie as you can possibly get. We're talking Miracle. I was fortunate to sit down in person with my buddies Dave Ruff and Will DeFries, and we went over this classic sports film and really heaped a lot of praise on it. As always, if you're enjoying Trouble with the Script, please remember to subscribe and rate and review. Let us know how we're doing, let me know what movies you're looking forward to, and make sure to check the feed for past classics on episodes that you might have missed. With that, let's get into Miracle. Welcome to Trouble with the Script, the sports movie podcast focusing on what worked, what didn't work, and what could have improved your favorite sports movies. I'm your host, Kyle Banduho. Today, I've got two special guests live in studio for the first time in the history of this podcast. The hosts of the Circling Back podcast, Dave Ruff and Will DeFries. Guys, it's good to see you.
Thank you so much for having us on, Kyle.
It's always good to see you, Kyle.
Dave, that's good radio voice.
Yeah, this is my NPR voice. Yeah, I feel like I got to go NPR with Kyle.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't want to come in too hot and like turn this into just bit palooza.
Just do it all in a Canadian accent.
No. Just let me get warmed up. No, I'm excited to be here. I'm a fan of this pod. I'm happy you're doing it. Let's get into this.
I'm excited to have you guys, and I needed two guests on this because I'm not known for being a big hockey guy. You guys, Dave, you're a Stars fan. Sorry.
Everybody knows Dallas is a hockey town. I'm the natural person to go to.
Hockey town or the hockey town?
I said a hockey
town. Okay.
Will's a noted Red Wings fan, and I needed two hockey guys because today we're doing Miracle. Miracle is a 2004 sports drama film about the story of the 1980 U.S. men's Olympic hockey team and their victory over the Soviet Union in the game dubbed The Miracle on Ice. Interesting point about this recording, Dave. Until last night, I think you had not seen this movie.
Correct. I think on the podcast you alluded to, Circling Back, I came clean and said, never seen Miracle. And everybody was kind of shocked by that.
It doesn't totally make sense. It's regarded as like one of the best sports movies ever.
It's fantastic.
And it's a hockey movie. It's patriotic. Like, it's got all the stuff that I would totally.
It's un-American. Want to see un-American that you hadn't seen it.
That's fair.
What took you so long?
Okay, so it came out in 04. I was in college. I was partying. There's probably a little bit of a dark period for films, especially had this came out in high school, I would have been all over it. But at this point, I was in college. My focus was on other things, you know, like my grades and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, doing a lot of class. Absolutely. Well, let's go right into it, Dave. I want you to answer first. Was this a Hall of Fame sports movie, an all-star, a starter, or a bench warmer?
I will dub this an all-star sports movie.
Okay. Will?
I think it's a Hall of Fame sports movie.
I agree. I think it's in the top tier of sports movies.
It's a Mount Rushmore sports movie for me.
Oh. I reserve the right to amend only because I'm less than 24 hours of you know, letting this soak in. And I think the more time I have, and I'll watch this again because it's on Netflix. And honestly, we'll get to this later, but it got me hype. So I will be revisiting this movie. For reasons I will get to, like, there's just a few things lacking that weren't entirely the fault of the people in the movie, the actors and whatnot, but move on.
Okay. Well, before we get into the categories and everything, doing this podcast, I've tried to nail down the formula for what a perfect sports film is. And I feel like this one's close. And just briefly, the casting was good in terms of being a good sports action film, which is, you know, what we focus on in this podcast. The casting was good. They got athletes. The game action was really good. It got you to buy into the action, which is always, you know, always a plus. And everything seemed realistic. And obviously, based on a true story, it's kind of like a different, it's got a different factor to it because there's really a real life, you know, you can't go too, you know, off the radar with this one because they actually have to follow real life events. The real Jack O'Callaghan, a member of this 1980 gold medal team, said it was, quote, pretty darn close to actual events. On the podcast, we're not going to critique it for this actually didn't happen or whatever because, you know, like, what's the point? You know, you got to do stuff for dramatic effect. We're just going to go into stuff that came off as realistic or could have happened. You know, we're not going to judge it off. You know, if you want to go look at what the movie actually changed up dramatically, go check out the IMDb trivia section and we'll go from there. So let's get right into it. What was the, Will, for you, what was the most authentic part of this movie sports wise?
I mean, for me, I think it was just the actual hockey scenes. Mm-hmm. Like the actual skating looked legit. The actual shots they were taking looked legit. Everything was just, I mean, you could have told me that we were watching a hockey game. And I think that's attributed to the fact that they did want to cast hockey players more than they wanted to cast actors. And I'm not certain, and I don't know if I read this somewhere, but I think they spent a lot of time on the ice making sure that things were correct. Mm-hmm. Like they spent days just shooting like one game.
They didn't shy away from the hockey action. Some sports movies focus on the plot and intersperse it with the actual on-field action. This movie did the opposite. It kind of focused on the on-ice action and let the plot revolve around that.
I also thought that, like, obviously there's parts of the scenes, like the after the Norway game, when they tie them and they're doing the, what, suicide?
The again scene.
The looks on their faces, it was like, yeah, I've had that look on my face before. Not from hockey, but, like, just regular sports. I've had that look, and I was like, yes, these guys look miserable right now. Yeah. Like, this looks like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, we'll get into that scene here in a little bit, because, okay. Yeah, I think that's a really realistic scene for a lot of reasons. Dave, what was the most authentic part for you?
I co-sign Will. I thought the hockey scenes were great. I can't help but compare it to, you know, the hockey movies that I grew up watching, mainly the Mighty Ducks series, and how bad those were.
They're so bad.
They're so bad. I thought... This did such a good job, but on another level, I thought this did a great job of showcasing how a team comes together and how team chemistry forms.
That's a good point.
Over, like, you know, and they did this in, what, 2 hours? Mm-hmm. I thought that was believable. It wasn't cheesy. A lot of movies, you know, they have these forced events that bring everybody together, but, like, I thought this, it flowed together well. And the wind sprint scene or the whatever you suicides, that was like tastefully done. I was like, okay, this makes sense. This is, you can see them becoming a team.
Mm-hmm.
It was like painful for like the viewer to watch.
Yeah,
like just as painful as it looked for them.
Who's they the got assistant you coach?
Craig. Dude, Craig looked like he was going to puke.
I thought Craig was going to storm off or like hand Herb the whistle, like, you fucking blow it.
There's one more thing that I think is super authentic in the movie.
What is that?
The accents.
Oh, so the accents many good were Boston great.
Like, that's
Minnesota.
How you knew that they got actual they hockey players good. And not actors. Like, yeah. It's like, oh no, these guys actually have these accents. Like, okay.
I thought they casted Ruzioni particularly well, just because that guy nailed it. Like, you know, Ruzioni was not the most talented guy on the team, but he was the captain. He just seemed like a good glue guy.
I just looked up O'Callaghan like in real life, and like the way that their faces look so similar. the actor versus the actual
they crushed the casting. To avoid being the same thing, I think the most authentic thing, I loved Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell was kind of like the straw that stirred the drink, and I thought as he played the part of Herb Brooks, obviously I don't know what Herb Brooks was like in real life, but playing in this podcast sometimes with coaches, I do a thing called the brick wall test. Would you run through a brick wall playing for that guy? And he does it a different style than some coaches, but like I bought him as this motivator and this intense guy. He looks like he could chew glass in that game in Sweden when they're getting their ass beat and like checking out girls in the stands. I bought into Kurt Russell as Herb.
He went all in.
Oh yeah.
Like all in. Is it? I think it's true that they actually didn't even call themselves by their actual names on set. They just called each other by their like player names.
Yeah, it's called method acting.
Yeah, they do that in a lot of like war movies. Like I know they did that in Band of Brothers. Just called each other by their by their character names and stuff. And I think it's effective. And it kind of alludes to what Dave was talking about, is that they built that chemistry and they showed you that slow build on screen and it worked.
Well, you could make a case that this is a war movie as well.
That's right.
I mean, this was the Cold War.
It did bring down communism eventually.
This really, this might be the top Cold War movie when you think about it.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything that was the least authentic?
Oh, I've got one that jumps right out at me.
Go ahead.
All right.
And it might be my biggest issue with the entire movie. So it's a Disney movie, right? You can't convince me that Herb Brooks didn't just cuss like a damn sailor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that. Like, I'm sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know that dude.
And the players.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's certain words that, you just can't say in Disney movies.
Yeah.
I know. And that was it. That was my biggest issue. That
It's kind of like Remember the Titans.
Exactly.
Like, it was good because of the effort and the bankroll that Disney has, but at the same time, you can't swear.
When you think about the main three Disney sports movies, I think it's like Remember the Titans, The Rookie, and Miracle. They all came out kind of in the same like 5-year swing.
Uh-huh.
I think Miracle still feels like the most adult movie, like the least cheesy and, for the kids and corny. Like it feels very adult, very mature. It doesn't feel like you're watching a kids movie, a Disney movie, but the lack of swearing is definitely that definitely comes up in your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, hockey guys have foul mouths.
Yeah.
Well, did you have anything that was the least authentic for you? This is
super nitpicky. Like, this was me watching the movie thinking, like, what's not authentic? And, like, I don't even know if this is correct because 2019 and, like, my heyday of watching hockey, which is admittedly not now. I watch most of my hockey in, like, the mid-2000s and early 2010s. And I think that if you went back and you looked at playing goalie in the 80s, it might be more like the movie, but it seemed like goalies were out of position a lot. And it was just like, why are you so far out of the net right now?
Seems like he was sprawling around.
Dude, yeah. He was on his side, like stacking pads every save.
Yeah.
It was a little over the top.
They got an NHL goalie to be his stunt up when he had the mask on, when the guy who played Jim Craig, Eddie Cahill, when he had the mask on, they had an NHL goalie to stand in for him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I don't know if that was just the style, but it looked like, you know how in a lot of basketball movies, like in Coach Carter, there's a zillion dunks where in reality, in a high school game, there's not that many dunks. Yeah. It seemed like, especially in the Miracle game, Jim Craig had like 470 saves.
Yeah. And like, I know that they did come out of the crease a lot more back in the day, but there were sometimes it was just like, okay, like I feel like you could just do one move and you'd have a wide open net. Yeah. But again, it's super nitpicky. Like all those scenes, the camera's really close to them, so I can't actually see how far. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't distract me. It was literally me looking for something to nitpick.
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I have like two things. They're both nitpicky. They don't even really have to do with hockey. Like we can just knock out the stuff that didn't work and then get into heaping praise on this movie, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
The beginning, the first scene in the movie, Herb flies all the way out to Colorado for like a 5-minute meeting.
Yeah.
That could have been done via conference call, I think. If I would have taken out a flight for a 5-minute meeting, I'd be furious. He's meeting with the Olympic Committee to get the job. Like, I mean, I'm sure in reality that meeting was probably like an hour and a half. But it appears like a 5-minute meeting. He's just like, we got to play the Soviets game. We got to change how we play. And then it's like, all right, Herb, we'll call you.
Cool.
It was like a quick job interview.
Yep. They did grill him in that interview as well with questions that like, were clearly to set the stage for people that didn't know about the Miracle on Ice mm-hmm. beforehand.
Yeah.
Like they were just forcing questions and it was like, all right, the stage is now set. Now we can go on with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. The Soviets are really good. We're not. and go. How old do you guys think that Herb was supposed to be in this movie?
Ooh. 45?
I will say, I'm going to say 48.
He was supposed to be 43. The real Herb was 43. To me, Kurt Russell seemed like he was 55 to 60.
Yeah, he looked old.
Because they talk about him being on the 1960 team, which was 20 years previous. And I'm like, that guy doesn't look like he was playing Olympic hockey 20 years ago.
No. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I still thought Kurt Russell crushed it, but that was, and for me, that's it.
Kurt Russell's, he's not young.
No, he's not.
He dated one of my best friend's mom in high school.
How'd she say it was?
She didn't have a lot of takes on it. They went to high school in Florida together, and they dated, and like we've always just held it over my buddy's head, and it makes me love him even more.
Is that his real name?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm not sure.
Those clothes just make you look older too. Polyester
and the hair.
The hair, man.
Do you think that he? I mean, like obviously this was probably just for effect, but it was kind of a jerk move of him to just completely avoid the party. That his wife was having the costume party.
I thought that was a big dad energy move.
It was just like, dude, you can't just sit in your office like looking at pieces of paper and playing your kid in like, well, what's it called?
The little table hockey
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, like at least like mingle for a
I will
sec.
Say, it looked like they didn't discuss it beforehand though. He just got home from that meeting and she was like, it's a costume party.
Some of those costumes
and, like,
were
not
all
only
over the top.
Were they having a costume party, they were having a costume party at their house. It wasn't like, hey, Herb, we're going to a costume party tonight. It's like, no. Everyone we know is coming over here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, honey, I've got the Olympics coming up. Maybe give me some quiet time. He needs a man cave.
I kind of wanted more of the wife in the movie.
They definitely gave her due. My fiance watched it for the first time with me, and I think the wife was her favorite character.
She was great.
She loved the wife.
She's exactly what she needed to be.
I'll be honest.
I think she worked. And I think we should go into what did work. What were you going to say, Dave?
This fits into what did work. Okay. They did not force a love story.
Yeah.
No.
Like,
yeah.
For any of the players, yep. Like, I'm so glad they didn't shoehorn that in.
That would have been so bad.
Yeah.
That would have been so
bad.
She's
a great actress.
Who is it?
Patricia Clarkson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was in...
She's been in a lot of really good movies.
She was recently in Sharp Objects.
Yeah.
I thought...
yeah, she was.
The training montages worked.
Like I love the, it. I love a well done training montage and not a cheesy one. And this one was well done.
I feel like there were multiple, but they were not extended. Like they knew like when they needed to come to an end, and just from when I watched them skate and stuff, I was like, this works. Like this is believable. It's not over the top. But yeah, I thought all that worked.
They got guys who could skate, like making that the priority. We touched on it earlier, but making that the priority in casting, we're going skaters first and actors second, was huge.
Yeah.
Because you had to believe that they were hockey guys and they carry themselves like hockey guys. And I think, you know, all the actors did an awesome job with their awesome accents and skating ability.
They tried out like something like 4,000 guys for that role or for mm-hmm. the roles. Like that's a lot. That's a big talent pool.
Mm-hmm. And the guys that they really focus on, like, I want to shout out, like, the guy who played OC,
mm-hmm.
RIP, sad story, we're not going to get into that, but it was Michael Mantenuto, I hope I didn't butcher his name, but OC has BDE. I mean,
yeah.
he had swagger, and I loved it.
He was one of the Boston guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he was the Boston guy who had a score to settle when they first got in. Eddie Cahill, who played Jim Craig, he did, according to my fiance, he was in Friends and Sex in the City. According to my fiance, he was the one who had a little bit of acting experience, but he played Jim Craig. They gave him kind of like, you know, some emotional parts to his role. Like the guys who had, you know, roles off the ice that weren't just skating, like that they gave some emotional meat to, I thought handled it really well. Like they carried themselves the right way.
You're telling me that actor that played the goalie was not Cole Hamels?
That was not Cole Hamels.
Because no. I thought it was Cole Hamels the entire time.
I think Cole Hamels was still in high school at
okay.
that point.
Oh, that's fair. Did have, dude, good looking dude, good flow.
Yeah.
Dude, the hockey
lot
hair
of
in
flow.
That
hockey
movie.
Hair was perfect.
Yeah, a lot of flow.
The hockey hair was inspirational. Like, if you're watching that movie and at some point you don't think to yourself, like, man, should I start growing my hair out? Like, you're lying to yourself. And you're also lying to yourself if you think that you can grow your hair out to look like that.
It would never look as good as those guys.
No.
Let's get into the again scene that we kind of talked about. They they fuck off in that game at Sweden, and Herb drags them on the ice and makes them skate, you know, suicides until they're thrown up on the ice and whatever.
You better think about something else, each and every one of you. When you pull on that jersey, you represent yourself and your teammates. And a name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back. Get that through your head. Again.
I mean, that worked. That inspired a legion of coaches, I think, after that, to do punishment running to make players earn. I had multiple coaches do something like that, like after a bad game.
Have you done like wind sprints after a bad game?
Oh, yeah.
I've done it once, and it was the most infuriating thing in the world.
We got home from a really bad road trip in college one time, and we pulled in late at night on a Saturday night, and we're told we had to be at the baseball field. It was like 6:30 or 7 or something like that. We had to pile our jerseys up on the field, and we were just running triangles. It was a long day.
Dude.
So that's realistic. It inspired.
We lost a game. This isn't the same scenario. There was one game in soccer in high school where we had to run after the game, and it just made me absolutely furious. And then the other one was we lost 2-0 to a team that was pretty equal to us, but a little bit better. We lost 2-0, and before practice every day, we had to run this 4-mile loop. And before the game, or before practice, coach was like, "So what'd you guys lose yesterday?" We said, "Well, 0-2. And he goes, "All right, just do it twice then." And we were just like, doing it once sucks. Like, running 4 miles isn't fun. Doing it twice, it was just like, come on, dude. He pulled us halfway through and was like, "Don't, you guys can stop running. Come back to the field."
This movie also had that, there's like that sports movie tradition that being in good shape, like being well-conditioned, means you're going to be a good team. They do that. And like Coach Carter, they do a lot of training, make sure that they're not the tired team at the end. Herb stresses it in this movie. They do the same thing in Remember the Titans. So they kind of, they do that sports movie theme of, hey, if you can run, you'll be good. You guys are good to go.
That
you're going to win.
Only takes you so far.
Yeah.
But it brings you, that's how you create the chemistry, man. It brings you together. You suffer together.
Yeah.
And you become one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. In a post-Tom Izzo Michigan State world, was it cool of him to humiliate his players like that in front of, like, I mean, there's still some people in the crowd there. Brings them out there and punishes them. Like, does that fly in 2019?
I don't think it flies in 2019.
I don't either.
Twitter would have a field day with it.
Yeah, there's no way.
Actually, hockey Twitter might just completely embrace it.
Yeah, hockey Twitter might, but if college basketball coach did that, no way. What else worked for you guys? I mean, I've got a long list. I can keep going. One of the things I liked that they did was they made making the guy Ralph Cox, making him a main character, so you feel the pain of when he gets the axe as the 21st guy.
Yeah.
That hurts.
That sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like to see Ralph go.
As I think you said it earlier, like, they kind of set it up in a way that you thought they might bring him back eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we're just going to rip your heart out.
I thought he worked in general because he looks, when I think of late 70s hockey, mm-hmm. NHL, like, that's what I think of. Ralph Cox.
Yeah.
That stash and the long hair.
That stash needed to go.
Yeah.
It was tight, but like,
I would kill to have it.
It was so gross.
As a notorious baby face, I would kill to have that guy's stash.
I thought the beef between the Boston kids and the Minnesota kids at the beginning.
I enjoyed that.
I kind of liked
too.
It.
And apparently that was a real thing. Apparently there was definitely some tension between those guys starting out. So
it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it alludes to what Dave, you talked about earlier with, you know, them showing how the team gels and comes together. They do a good job of that. And it's not like one thing that just puts them, you know, oh, we're all happy now. Like, it's a gradual thing.
I kind of wonder if those guys partied more than they showed. Because they showed them, like, having beers. But, like, they were drinking responsibly. I wonder, because, you know, hockey dudes go kind of hard.
Yeah.
I was curious. I'm like, did these guys get after it, like, more than they're leading on here?
I mean, they have to. I mean, they were practicing pretty hard and doing a lot of physical activity, but I would imagine that there was more beer drinking going on than they showed in a Disney movie.
That makes all the sense.
I think a few guys definitely got shithoused each night.
Makes sense.
The bring back Al Michaels and Ken Dryden and having them do the commentary for the Olympics, I thought they had them re-record all their own lines except for the, you know, do you believe in miracles line? They just cleaned up that old audio, but they had him come root. And I thought that made all the difference in the Olympic Games. It made you feel like even more like you were actually watching Olympic hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad they brought him back, because it would have been weird had they just used the old audio, because you would have had to completely tailor the scenes around the old audio. Mm-hmm. So having Al Michaels, shouts to Al Michaels. Yeah. What the longevity of that career.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe calling that moment so perfectly set him up for success immediately there.
It definitely did.
Because I don't really know the trajectory of his career.
It's one of the most iconic sports calls ever. I mean, it's going to live forever. I might drop it multiple times in this podcast. It's that good. I think having their commentary was great. I've got a question for you guys. I don't know, and this is why I needed guys who know hockey. They go to the Olympics with 20 guys. That's mm-hmm. the big thing. You got to get the roster down to 20. You've got two goalies. You've got Jim Craig and Janicek. And in the game with the Soviet Union right before the Olympics, OC gets hurt, and they're talking about, you know, if you keep him and another guy goes down, you're going to have a hard team putting, you know, hard time putting guys on the ice. That would leave you with, if another guy went down, that would leave you with 18 guys, two goalies and 16 players. Is that really a thing? That would be a hard time putting guys on the ice, or did they do that for a dramatic effect?
I think it would make your lines weird. Okay. Like if your lines are already established and then you have to start mixing and matching, and then another guy gets hurt, then it makes it like exponentially harder, I'm going to assume. What was O'Callaghan's position?
He was a defenseman.
Okay, that I think that makes it even hard, like really hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to act like I'm that fluent in like Russian, you know, the hybrid method that Herb was teaching them, of, you know, the blend of Canadian and Russian. But like they craft these lines, you know, to mix and match based on like who's good at what, who's got the best chemistry. So you lose a guy, especially your best defenseman, right? That's a big deal.
It's like the most infuriating thing too. I mean, I remember the Red Wings haven't been good for a really long time. So I had not a really long time, a few years. So ever since moving down here, it's much more difficult for me to muster up the energy to watch the Red Wings. And I'll watch a hockey game on once in a while if it's entertaining, especially in the playoffs. But one of the most infuriating things was when I didn't agree with the lines that we put out for playoff games. And it was just like, what do we do? Like, how do I think that I know better than the coach? And just checking that before every game, it was always something that was on in my mind. But I assume that, you know, especially for, I think it's even more difficult with defensive pairings. And if you have another defenseman go out, then you're like, you're essentially just playing with a shorthanded team the entire time.
Okay. I needed the clarity on that. That decision to keep OC, because they say you can't play until the medal round, that decision to keep him leads to one of my favorite scenes, which is when in the first game, McClanahan gets hurt in the first period and they take him back. And the doc says he's basically done, but he can't get hurt any worse. And Herb basically like mind fucks him into getting angry and playing again. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
I thought that was the best scene in the movie.
It's awesome.
What the hell's wrong with you? Put your gear on. I said, put your gear on.
The doc told me I can't
play. Yeah, I know. You got a bad bruise. You know what? Put your street clothes on, because I got no time for quitters.
Come on, Herb. Nobody's quitting here.
You worry about your own game. Plenty there to keep you busy. Bruise on the leg is a hell of a long way from the heart, you candy ass.
What'd you call me?
You heard me.
You want me to play, huh? Is that what you want?
I want you to be a hockey player!
I am a hockey player! You want me to play on one leg? Huh? I'll play on one leg!
That'll get him going.
Get off me!
Oh, yeah.
Will that make you happy?
I'll clean up.
Herb, I am a hockey player!
It's awesome.
When he walks out and looks at his assistant coach, Craig, and just goes, that'll do it, or that, you know, he
that'll
just...
That'll get him going.
That'll get him going. That was so good.
Craig needs to stop showing his hand so much. Craig had some smirks sometimes where I'm like, Craig, this works better if you don't show any emotion right now.
Oh, you mean like when he walked into the locker room to tell Ralph to go see coach? You knew, dude, like...
Yeah.
You no poker face at all. Like, he knew what was happening.
After the speech... Like before the Russia game, Craig is just standing there smiling, and then he walks out of the locker room. It's like, dude, stop smiling. Like, this is the most intense part of the movie.
Yeah, and the first time you see Craig on screen is at the Olympic tryouts, and he, you know, comes and talks to Herb or whatever, And Herb is like, Craig, you're a hell of a player. You're gonna be a hell of a coach or something like that. And real life Craig Patrick, sure, maybe. I'm not sure movie Craig Patrick becomes a hell of a coach.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I think he gets walked over. He seems by like a
players, players coach.
Definitely a players
like,
coach.
He definitely like he was a journeyman coach in the NHL for a little bit, maybe. Like that's the peak of what the actual movie character could have been. Like he just didn't have it. He didn't have moxie.
Yeah, not a lot. Let's go best on-screen athlete. I feel like best and worst on-screen athletes are something it's really hard to pick. I don't think there's a worst. I think everyone who graced the screen was good. If we want to say worst on-screen athlete, we can lump coaches into that and just say Craig. Craig as the assistant coach was the worst. As far as best,
I just looked up what Craig did, actual Craig Patrick did in his career.
Oh, what did Craig do?
He panned out.
Oh, did he?
He panned out, yeah. It says Patrick was the general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins when he oversaw back-to-back Stanley Cup championships in 1991 and 1992, as well as drafting and signing some of the players that would later win a Stanley Cup for the Penguins in 2009.
Damn. Shout out Craig.
Craig did it. He did the thing.
Good for Craig.
Man.
I was worried about him. Yeah, as far as best on-screen athlete, the guy who was Jim Craig's stunt double, former goalie Bill Ranford, I guess. I mean, clearly, legitimately a good athlete, but all these guys were, a lot of them were college hockey players, and, it showed. They do a thing that a lot of sports movies don't do, and that's get real athletes,
mm-hmm.
I think makes movies better.
Man, I don't know if this will stack up, but I almost want to give it to the Russian, Boris Mikhailov.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
He was intimidating.
Dude, that guy, I don't know if he was 40 years old or if he was just that much of a beast where he was, he looked older, but man, that guy was intense.
Yeah, he was intimidating.
He looked horrible. The whole Russian team, it was scary, a bunch of scary dudes. They did a good job making Russia the villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weird. They're so friendly now. but that whole Russian team, they did a good job with that. They did a good job of making them seem bigger and faster, and
they definitely seemed like a more imposing team. It was like the level of like Iceland versus Team USA and the Mighty Ducks.
And something this movie did really well, they didn't overdo it the first time they faced each other. When the Ducks or when Team USA in different movies.
We're wronging Miracle by comparing it to Mighty Ducks.
Okay, I'm just saying Iceland was the Russia of that. They're the villain and they're the bigger and stronger and faster and better. And like it wasn't even a competition.
No.
Like they just, it was like you're playing a peewee team and you're a varsity. This though, it was like, yeah, they were better, but it wasn't so over the top that it was that crazy that the USA could win it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like they weren't getting they weren't doing flips whenever they got hit. They weren't
going through the glass.
Yes. Like there was no absurdities that happened during the first game or really ever. I do have one question about the semifinal.
The Miracle game?
Yes, the Miracle game. I do have a question about there was one hit where a Team USA guy just goes flying into the bench. This seems like a little too absurd. He went flying into the bench. I just have questions about that. Dave said to me this morning, he was like, I wonder if this entire game is on YouTube or somewhere that I can watch the entire game. Because I would totally...
I'm sure it is. They used footage from some older Olympic games. And I know they used footage from the game of the Soviet Union playing the NHL All-Stars that Herb's watching on TV when they just beat up the NHL All-Stars. That was actual footage from that game. So I got to imagine the Miracle on Ice game is on YouTube.
It's got to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to watch it at some point.
Yeah, I am too.
Be a good watch. Let's get into, I think, my favorite category, and especially for this movie. I think this might be the best movie for this category. I'm calling this The Big Chill.
Okay.
It's a good sports movie gives you the chills, gives you the feels at some point. And I feel like this movie, I'm going to list off nominees and then we got to pick one. I got a lot for this movie. First and foremost, the Mike Iruzione saying I play for the United States of America after the again scene to make Herb stop from running them to death.
Yes.
So there's that. There's the one where right before the Olympics, when he decides to keep OC, walks out to the ice and said, that's why I'm going to keep you. There's the Sweden game, the first game of the Olympics where they need that tie at the end. it was very intense, and they get that kind of last second goal to, you know, they pull Jim Craig. I can't remember who gets the goal, maybe Mark Johnson, but it, you know, the great moment speech before the, before the Miracle on Ice game that Herb gives. The first goal in the Miracle on Ice, the first U.S. goal, when OC comes off the bench, for the first time after, he's been injured. This is his first game in the Olympics. He hits that guy, and that clears the way for the goal. The Mark Johnson goal, where he comes off the bench with like 10 seconds. They send Johnson out, and he scores the goal with like 10 seconds left to go into, I think it was the end of the first period. And then the Rizzo goal, the goal that eventually becomes the game winner. They led up to that play the whole movie. You know, they Rizzo keeps going wide with the shot, and then "Do you believe in miracles?" The "Do you believe in miracles?" line directly from the voice of Al Michaels in 1980. Do you guys have what sticks out for you? There's a lot in this movie that gives you the chills, makes you feel very patriotic.
For me, the one that we talked about a minute ago, when Mac, you know, gets the bone bruise. And he goes in and tricks him, and they're getting pissed off. Just like, I don't know, Max like emotion and like the way he goes at Coach. That was, for me, that might have been my favorite part of the movie.
He's screaming that I am a hockey player.
Yeah, that, man, I thought that was great. My only issue with when OC is on the crutches on the ice and he finds out like he's going to play, I was like, man, can you be on crutches on ice? I couldn't help like what? I was like, that seems dangerous as hell.
Like, being on crutches on like slick surfaces like that is just completely irresponsible.
Yeah, like you're already hurt.
Yeah.
Quick detour from this category real quick, because I almost forgot something. So OC is hurt. He doesn't even know if he's going to be on the roster, but they still take him. He's still at the Olympics. We couldn't have gotten Ralph a bus ticket and some U.S. gear, and he couldn't have been chilling with the team. Fair. Maybe that happened, but like it would have made me feel so much better if Ralph was like on the bench in a U.S. jumpsuit.
Yeah, watching hand him some water bottles that he can like squirt in guys' mouths or something. Exactly. Like, come on, get him in the locker
room. Like a symbolic.
He's a total locker room guy.
Yeah. With like, so if Herb wasn't gonna keep OC, he's like, OC, I can't risk you with that injury. We're gonna cut you. Here's a bus ticket, you know, it's gonna get you to the airport, you fly wherever, but you're not staying here. So that was one thing I would have loved to have seen Ralph in some U.S. jumpsuit.
It would have been great.
I agree.
Back to the big chill.
I honestly knew that we were going to do this category, and I was waiting for the parts in the movie that would give me like the chills. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the final speech before the game is like one of the biggest ones. I think it's number two for me. I'm kind of embarrassed by my number one because I think it's a little cheesy, and it's as we've said, it's not true. But the Mike Ruzioni thing, like that's when I got the chills the most. And I know that it's not how it happened. And I know that it shouldn't be the moment because it was cheesy. But at the same time, like, I remember sitting there and just being like, holy shit.
Mike Ruzioni! Went through Massachusetts!
Who do you play for?
I play for the United States of America.
That's all, gentlemen.
Dude, every time I watch the movie again, when I did my rewatch, my fiance was watching for the first time, and she literally, I mean, I've seen this movie 1,000 times, and during that scene, like, she saw me, I'm just on the couch waiting for it. I'm like, fucking give it to me.
Yeah.
Give me that Mike Ruzioni. I play for the United States of America.
It's great.
That being said, the "Do you believe in miracles?" line, like, it sent a, it, every time, it sends like a shockwave through my body.
It'll never not send a shockwave. Like, it'll always be there.
It's just, I mean, it is. And it's a testament to the movie. Like, you knew it was coming. This is based on a true story. They get you to buy into the action. There are very few sports movies that get you invested like you're watching a game. And this one is one of them. Like, I think I think Creed does that with the boxing match, especially the first one. If you've seen Creed, the first boxing match is really intense. You're right in there in the middle of the ring, and it's one set shot. It's awesome. I feel like this movie gets you like that, like you're invested in watching a game. I don't feel like that in like a Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. There's not a single baseball movie where I feel like that, where I'm invested in it. Because most movies, you're just cherry picking a few, points in the game. Like the last scene in Major League, there's really like the last game, there's really like three scenes and that's it. This movie, you are invested in the entire thing. I mean, they like skip over almost the entire second period, but
yeah,
like the first period and the third period, you're in the shit. And so there's that amazing payoff with the "Do you believe in miracles?"
I think that all comes down to like them striving for realism when it came to the hockey, like them being actual hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
You compared it to Creed. I read it or I listened to it on a podcast that Michael B. Jordan, his body just completely shut down after the movie was done taping.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the final scenes they taped was his final fight, and apparently his body just shut down for like a week, couldn't move, like he was just dead. And he was just training like a boxer would train. And he looked like it, like he was jacked.
Oh, yeah, he looked awesome. I think when movies put in the effort to make you feel like you're watching a real sporting event, it really pays off and makes a good sports movie. I thought of one more Big Chill moment. It's still not my top, but when they're starting the third period and everyone's chanting USA in the crowd and Herb brings them together and he's like, listen to him, look what you did or whatever. Like, that's great. Also, massive home field advantage.
Massive. Yeah.
Massive.
What's the name of the center who was facing Mikal?
Mark Johnson. Played by Eric Peter Kaiser staring down
Boris Mikhailov, or however you say his name. Him staring him down was awesome.
Yeah. That stare down scene was intense.
He cowered away so badly the first time they played, and then like that next time it was just like, oh yeah, he's winning the stare down. He lost the face off, which is tough. You can't stare a guy down and then lose the face off.
Well, it's funny they use Dryden's commentary. He says the thing about like the U.S. team now they're starting to believe or something, mm-hmm. and they show it on with the action of how like they're going, toe-to-toe, and they kind of show in the Olympics in general, they show a more confident team. Like when Matt comes back from that injury in the Sweden game and he's just like, they show him like fighting through the injury but still being super aggressive.
Yeah,
you feel like that team is really good. That's like the best hockey team I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and it was a movie.
Yeah,
but and I think that's like a good kind of thing to end on, is this movie made you feel like you were invested in this hockey team and watching a real hockey game. And that's why for me it's a Hall of Fame sports movie. I think it's awesome, and I appreciate you guys coming on the pod to talk about it, because I needed hockey guys and I got some hockey guys.
What'd you guys think of how they handled the actual gold medal game?
I didn't need to see anything.
I didn't need the same.
Get that out of here.
Yeah.
At first I was thinking like, man, is it weird they're just not gonna gloss over this? And then like looking back, I was like, there's no way they could have done it.
No, why even try to match the intensity of what just happened?
That would have just dragged this thing out another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought they did the right thing.
No one cares.
Yeah,
I think literally no one cares about that.
I think that was the right call.
I'd say 90% of casual sports fans think that was the gold medal.
Oh, they definitely did.
When my fiance was like, wait a minute, that wasn't the gold medal game? Like after they were done, they showed them beating, they beat Finland.
But apparently they were down in that game.
Yeah.
They said there's another comeback, which I kind of want to review that too and see how intense that game was.
I confirmed you can watch the entire game on YouTube. It's an hour, 49 minutes.
Maybe one day we'll get Miracle 2, the gold medal game.
For my 30, for my next birthday, I'm just going to buy like a 12 pack of Molsons and just sit there and watch the Miracle game.
Buy yourself a Eurozioni jersey and go for it.
I know it's a Canadian beer, but I feel like Canadian beer and American hockey kind of they're hand in hand.
Yeah,
they could never do Miracle 2 because like the Finns are just good people. Nobody has beef with Finland.
This movie is just highly rewatchable too.
Yeah, it is.
Like it made me. The best thing about this movie, I think, is that it's on Netflix and it's been on Netflix for a very long time.
Is it one of the longest Disney movies? 2 hours and 14 minutes is a long Disney movie.
It's up there.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, this is one again that is really. It's not quite tailored for kids.
Yeah,
it's definitely not a kid. Like The Rookie is very. I love The Rookie for a lot of reasons, but it's also very corny, very tailored for children. Like this is an adult movie.
Yeah.
With this no cussing, besides Herb calling Mac a candy ass.
Candy ass.
That's
good. It's good.
That's Disney swearing right there. That's getting in his shit right there.
Yeah, you make it more kid friendly when you put candy in front of it.
That's right.
It's perfect.
It's great.
Yeah. Good movie.
Great movie.
I am shocked that I had never seen it.
I apologize. It's a shame. I'm glad you've seen it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's officially a hockey one of guy. My favorites. I think it's not out of the question to say that it is a Mount Rushmore. It's a top four. And I'm not even a hockey guy. I watch maybe half of one hockey game a year, but it's still just fantastic.
Are there any other hockey movies that do you enjoy?
I mean, like Slapshot's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Mighty Ducks are the Mighty Ducks, but it's not, you can't put the, they're playing a different game here.
Mystery Alaska. Ever seen that?
I have not. I've been told by like four different people. I've gotten DMs for this podcast like, hey, you need to do Mystery Alaska.
It's not a tried and true hockey movie, but it's centered around hockey, and it's a good movie. I mean, Russell Crowe's in it. He's good. It all takes place in Alaska, obviously. It's an entertaining movie. The other hockey movie that I like, which is I actually thought it was legitimately funny, and it's not realistic at all. Goon.
Oh, I love Goon. I forgot about Goon. Like, I love Goon.
I watched it and I was like, I actually liked that movie.
Goon is a really good movie. Goon is on the list. I mean, I don't want to end this podcast without doing every single sports movie. And so we're going to get to all of them. But yeah, Goon is up there. Goon is a good one.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I feel like I got to get a Canadian guy on for Goon. Goon is one of the most Canadian movies I've ever seen in my life.
Goon 2 is pretty much just Goon again.
That's all I needed out of that movie, though. Guys, thanks for coming on. Where can the people follow you?
Well, first and foremost, you should subscribe to the Circling Back podcast. Let us earn your business.
Maybe subscribe to that Patreon as well.
Patreon as well. Well, yep. If you're a Bachelor fan, which I know hockey and Bachelor are pretty much
the exact same thing.
So yeah, hit that up. But you can also follow me at Will DeFreeze on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, hit me up at DCarterRuff on Twitter, at DCRuff on Instagram. Give us a shot. That's all we ask for.
Give them a chance to earn your business. Yeah. As always, if you enjoyed Trouble with the Script, please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play. Rate and review. Share with any friends who also love sports movies. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Trouble Pod, on Instagram at Trouble with the Script Pod. You know, let me know what you think, what movies you're looking up, you know, looking for, and we'll catch you next Thursday. Thanks.